So how about we call the Economic Development Writing Meeting to order, Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. I have myself, Alderman Mulcahy, Alderman Cole, Alderman Peterson, and Alderman Frieders. Lots of staff and lots of visitors. If all the visitors could please sign in for our minute taker, that would be great. We have any citizen comments? Okay, let's go on to minutes for correction and approval. The minutes from November 5th, 2019. Any comments? Corrections? Are we okay accepting them as presented?
It doesn't say that Ken was late on the minutes. Can we make sure that we
did? Party.
No, it was that.
Oh, it does. Arrived at 6:07.
That's stupid traffic.
Yeah, you know. Absent Jason Peterson. Okay, as long as we got everything on the tape.
So we're good?
Yep.
All right. Let's go on to new business one, EDC 2019-93, the building permit report for October of 2019.
Keith? In October, we added 15 single-family detached homes and 4 single-family attached homes. We're going to see a little more of the single-family attached homes. Pulte's finishing out their project out there in Autumn Creek, doing all of those, and they were actually... I spoke to them today, and they were actually pretty surprised at how well they were selling out there. So I don't know if that says anything for the future of Pulte doing that type of work in our area. They haven't commented, but they all seemed very surprised by how fast they put it up. They put it on the market, and they were gone right away. So it's a pretty good thing.
Okay. Any comments, questions? Any comments? From anybody? All right, let's go on to two. EDC 2019-94, the building inspection report for October 2019.
All right, this month we did 248 inspections around single family homes and 151 roofing inspections, which is probably the big stand up for the unusualness. Those are slowly but surely starting to wind down, so my staff's going to be able to start looking down again eventually here. Yeah, but as far as the roofing stuff goes, we haven't had many major issues at all, which is really good, and we're happy with that. But yeah, just a lot of random stuff too. So.
Okay. Any comments on that? All right, we're good with that one. Let's go to three. EDC 2019-95, the property maintenance report for October 2019.
In October, we heard 10 property maintenance cases at hearing. If you notice, see the ones in Carly Circle, stuff like that, those were some of the Meadowbrook lots that had some junk and trash on them, and then, you know, the weeds were predominantly taken care of besides the one on 402 Liberty Street that was a chronic issue with weeds on that property, so the hearing officer levied a little bit of a higher fine on that, so that seems to be the big standout on that one. It's a $2,000 fine for weeds, but that's because it's a reoccurring issue.
So on the ones on Carly Circle,
yes.
Is there a house there or is it a lot?
No, those are lots.
Those are lots.
Yeah, those are vacant lots. Well, that is a vacant lot. It's one vacant lot. Basically, that was we got a complaint about that. We went out there, issued for weeds and grass and junk and debris, and they just cut the weeds and grass, which is good, but they also cut the junk and debris, which was not good because they didn't pick it up, so it was still there.
Okay. The one down by me on Houston Street, are we cutting the weeds and it got dismissed, or is somebody finally stepping up and cutting the weeds over there?
That one is...
It's by Circle Center, that end of Houston.
Oh, no, we did cut that.
So it got dismissed
yes.
As a city.
We don't differentiate between if the city has been cutting them or if the homeowner cuts them.
Okay.
Because if the city does, we'll end up weaning the property for our labor in certain properties that we haven't had a chance to get any kind of response out of. We take the initiative and have Public Works cut them, and we just leave the property.
That's, I know, during the summer you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything on that? Okay, that looks good. Let's go to four, EDC 2019-96, Economic Development Report for November 2019. And Lynn, you're on.
Okay, you've got your report in front of you. Just to give you just a couple updates, we did do the ribbon cutting for the Holiday Inn Express today. It went off wonderfully. Lots of people attended. It was a great event. Paradise Cove did open, so if you want to get a little Caribbean paradise vibe, go head down to 220 South Bridge Street. So they are open, and I think been very well received. They had a very strong weekend. They were very happy. And Burnt Barrel Social is, I think, planning on opening next week, because I had early December. I stopped in there today, and they thought it would be next week. So that's all I have.
Any comments or questions or anything? Okay, we're good. 5, EDC 2019-97, GRNE Solar, Kendall County Special Use Request.
All right. So GRNE Solar, on behalf of Kendall County, is requesting a special use permit to construct a solar farm on the Kendall County Government Campus. This may sound familiar to everyone. As of December last year, they were actually approved for their permit. Upon reviewing the conditions that were put upon that special use and going through and actually getting quotes and costs for the fencing and the landscaping, they were requesting if they could change those in the special use. The only way they could do that is by getting a new special use. So we are taking them through the process again. If it goes through, we'll repeal the already accepted special use and replace it with this one. The two changes they're really looking for is they were required to have a vinyl or a non-wood fence, and I believe that it was so cost prohibitive that they were just want to go through this process to see if they could get a wood fence. Still solid, still opaque, still going to be tall enough to cover the maximum height of the solar farm, just the fact that it would be made of wood instead of vinyl. Our comments on that were fairly positive towards that. They would fall in our main. The original PZC comments is they wanted to be vinyl because easier to maintain, it'll look nicer longer. If it's made of wood, they'll still have to adhere to our maintenance codes. If it falls in disrepair, they'll need to be able to fix it in that. So staff is fairly positive on changing it to allow for a wood fence. The second one that they're asking to change is they were required to put landscaping on the not only on the south border that backs up to Blackberry Woods, but on the west side. They're looking to change the landscaping on the west side only. So all the screening on the south side would stay. The west side, they just felt as it backs up, as it faces commercial use, it wasn't quite as necessary. Staff has asked the petitioner to contact the businesses across the street. They did come to the public hearing originally and ask for that landscaping, and that's why PZC put it as a recommendation. Dan Kramer from representing the petitioner sent me a letter today saying that they have been trying to contact them and work out some sort of arrangement, and I said, you know, if you come to a deal, something maybe not as much as the original, but, you know, if you guys come to an arrangement, we would support changing that landscaping. But without that, it would seem that we would kind of prefer to have the landscaping there since they came out during the public hearing and voiced their concerns. Everything else, we're staying the same. Everything, the layout, the size, everything else. And in the packet, I put all the old materials in there in case you had any questions or worries about where it was going, things like that. So we would put all the other original requirements on there for the new special use as well. So this is going to go to public hearing in January, and then hopefully to City Council in February. So we're just looking for feedback, and Dan Kramer and others are from Kendall County if you have any questions for them.
Anybody have any questions?
No questions, but I agree with staff's recommendation. I didn't really care about the type of fence, and I know how expensive the vinyl stuff is, but have we considered selling to them the fence that we bought for another property?
Good, good.
Okay, well, just an idea, throw it out there.
Geez, if you got some fine cheap with vinyl fence, we
yeah, I don't
do
know.
Cheap and vinyl don't actually do, but
I don't know if it's, area. It's, this is a lot bigger than
it,
that.
It is a lot bigger, but maybe we can supplement it. But I don't care what the fence is made out of. I remember we had originally talked about how Sheriff's Department wanted it to be transparent so they could see if anybody was in there.
Okay.
And I understand the concerns on their perspective and also the fact that we kind of want to shield it from the public eye. But, yeah, I totally agree. The reason why it was kind of okay was because of the landscaping on the west. Now, how ornate you go with it, I don't really have that big of an opinion on it. But if we agree to that to get agreement from the neighbors, I think we should at least stick to a version of that. So everything else, okay.
I kind of follow that too.
I have a question about the fence.
Sure, go ahead.
And maybe if you can help, is it or either way? I was Alderman Funkhauser asked me to ask this. So is there any requirement? Because this is like a larger than normal panel on a fence. Is it Do we have any requirements that it has to be more substantial, like on a metal frame, so that just because it, you know, it's kind of out in the open for, you know, to wind, standing up to wind in that?
Yeah, there's not really any set forth requirements, but the fence is going to be designed by the fencing contractor, and they'll send us design drawings for it. And it's going to have to meet our 100-mile-per-hour wind standards. And that's where you run into, and generally, a lot of times you see a lot of residential fences get blown under the microburst and things like that. You don't see that in commercial so much, because those are actually designed to meet the International Building Code, which has their, we don't tell them how to design it, but in general, it's either, I mean, the smallest one, you need 6x6 posts with, you know, 4x4 cross posts, and mostly now it's almost all steel posts and structural steel beams that is mounted to that. And in general, it seems like with the wood versus the vinyls, the wood has to be stained and treated, and most of that stuff comes out from the factory, and it's literally been soaked and dipped in the material. So commercial wooden fences usually end up staying pretty nice for a pretty long period of time. And they usually are pretty solid for that fact.
I have no problem with the wood either. I do agree that I think we should come up with some kind of, you know, if we could talk to the, was that Copley?
Well, it's Copley, Yorkville Dialysis Center, and there's one clinic out there. As Eric can tell you, it was a property manager was the contact point for all of them. So we've been attempting to reach him, and frankly, we'll sit down. If we can't reach him, we'll sit down with Copley direct. They've always been very responsive. There's just nobody at the dialysis center that has the authority to talk about it directly. So we'll follow up on that. I do want to stress that we're not talking about going no landscaping on the west side. When the county originally looked at it, the cost, and they're, of course, just like you folks, it's taxpayer money. They were shocked because it was six-figure numbers difference both on the wood and the landscaping. And we don't want to touch a bit of landscaping change in the south. We made a deal with those neighbors. We're sticking with it. On the west, Chris Childress, who's a consultant for the county, he had, I liked his wording, it was an aha moment. They talked to their arborist, who's removing most of the trees to accommodate it, and he said, look, you've got some materials that are savable out there. Instead of knocking them all down, putting the fence up, and then putting new landscaping outside, why don't you think outside the box and move your fence in a bit and keep the materials that are salvageable? You've already got a nice tall growth area, and you can supplement that. And again, we'll bring you a revised landscape plan. That's the proof in the pudding. Don't just trust us, but give us a drawing. And he said, then you can fill in between that, and you're going to have the same thing, but you're going to have some nice mature trees. Otherwise, you might be waiting 3 to 5 years to get that height. And as Chris said, aha, that's a good idea. So we will work with him on that, and we'll get back to staff and let you know what we find out when we meet the group. I did tell Chris they were harder to get through to than any lawyer I know, including myself. So a lot of barriers.
It really was through the guy who looked at Dale that said, you've got some service berries in there, and there are trees that you could use on that outside, so why are you taking everything down? Leave what's there. Put the fence on the inside, just take down what impedes the field, and put the other trees that you're taking out in there, which really was seemed pretty smart to me, reuse what you got rather than... Mm-hmm.
And I think he's somebody you've dealt with in the city before in various jobs. I've been in city jobs, Dale Pacinas, so he's a local guy. So, again, we're happy to work with you, and we want to make the project go.
Anything else? So then it's just our recommendation that this will go to public hearing.
This will go to public hearing, PZC, January 8th, and then those recommendations will come back to City Council in February.
Okay. And the way we'll send the notice out is explained to the citizens that same project, only those two changes, so nobody gets freaked that everything is changing. Okay. Thank you. Have great holidays.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go on to 6, EDC 2019-98, the Wrigley Solar Plano and Wind Turbine Special Use Request.
All right. Brian Werner of Continental Electric, representing Wrigley, has set petition for a special use for a single solar panel and wind turbine. If you travel down 47, this is actually already up. It's one of those things that can happen. All of our freestanding solar and wind energy systems are special uses in the districts, regardless of size. So Kendall County is doing 7,400 panels, and they're doing one. At the moment, it's still the same process. We might be changing that as we go through the UDO to clarify. So for the most part, there's a single solar panel and wind turbine there that powers their new electric sign. So their sign was updated in the spring to be internally illuminated. And they needed to bring electric to it. It being so far away from the building, to dredge a line all the way to it and connect it, they thought this would be a more better way to power that sign and also, you know, save a little energy. For the most part, while reviewing, we have several different regulations regarding the sign or the solar panel and the wind turbine. In terms of height, both of them don't meet the clearance level we have. This is actually similar to many solar panel ones we've gotten in the past, that we said there had to be a 10-foot underneath, which was mainly as a safety concern, so people wouldn't. It was more for like a private residential house, thinking that kids or other people could get under there. For the most part, that's just not an industry standard. You want them low to the ground anyway. So staff would approve that change. I believe they have it at 2'8". GRNE had theirs at 1'7". So it's pretty understandable. Similarly, the wind turbine, the clearance given in the plans has a little bit over 10 feet of clearance. And our code wants 15 feet. Again, this doesn't really meet standards. There's no way to jump up and touch it or kind of hurt yourself with it. So staff feels like the 10'6" is also appropriate for the clearance. Neither of them go over the overall height requirement. In terms of glare, it states in our code that nothing can be glaring onto pedestrians or vehicles or anything like that. We've had studies in the past show that, you know, these are meant to absorb light, not reflect them. If they're reflecting light, they're not doing their job. And it's the exact same that the Kendall County is using. In terms of access, we do have regulations that say it can't be easily accessible. The wind energy especially says it cannot be easily accessible by the public. This is at Wrigley. There's no walkways. It's actually pretty far off 47 as well. It's over 50 feet off. It's in a landscaped area, fairly hard to get to. So under our opinion, it would be pretty hard to access or mess around with without being noticed pretty easily. We require all these uses to be accessory uses to the primary structure, which they are. Signage. So we do have a regulation states that there may be no commercial signage or attention-getting device on any alternative energy system. The wind blades do have different Wrigley products on them as a sign. It would be staff recommendation to remove them to conform to the code. Unless everybody,
I like it. I go past it twice a day.
Unless everybody likes, I'm just saying, conforming to the code. But we could make it a condition of the special use to allow that.
No, I have the condition before you continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
You bring back the lime Skittles and get rid of these apple things that nobody wants to eat.
I'll tell you what.
Just perfect the way it was.
If we can get you some lime Skittles.
We'll get you the lime Skittles.
The entire city of Yorkville.
We can make a special batch.
They're coming back because, sorry, you've ruined the package of Skittles.
We'll get you the lime.
But we're not going to remove the fun from the blades.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty. I like going past it twice a day. Go past it.
Yes.
If I may, can I say something?
Yes.
My name is John Keough. I'm a project engineer at Wrigley. So the big part about the blades, everything that's on the blades is actually made in the factory. So it was kind of one of those things for our associates to be proud of as you're driving by. You know what's being made there. Rather, I mean, Mars Wrigley makes tons of products and they own a bunch of things. But there you can see, hey, you know, Skittles, Altoids, Juicy Fruit, Hubba Bubba, it's all being made right there. So that was the purpose.
As the neighborhood who smells everything that you make, there's nothing like waking up when it's like sub 20, you're shoveling, and it smells like Altoids. Honestly, it's one of the reasons why I don't think I'll move, because the people in Kylan's, they smell manure.
Yeah.
I smell Altoids. And I know this because I'm in a much better mood most of the time than the other alderman who lives in Kylan's. Just saying.
Okay, moving on. So the final thing was abandoned systems, and that the petitioner's made aware of our requirements regarding them. If they fall out of disuse, they'll have to be taken down. So for the most part, staff's positive on this special use request. Those height changes are the only things we're looking for on conditions. Now that we've talked, we will probably put the allow for those signs for this specific purpose to be allowed as a fourth recommendation. This will also be going to January 8th public hearing, and then it will come to City Council in February, so we're just looking for feedback.
We could also rename this the Carlo Colosimo Memorial Wind Turbine.
Yeah.
Remember how much he hated the wind turbine?
Yeah.
You should put that in the article.
So you're recommending they change the height, the lowest point?
We're recommending that our standards don't meet what typical standards are in the industry. So we're putting a condition where ours says there has to be a 10-foot clearance. We're saying it'll be 2'8".
So why can't we just give them a variance?
Because it doesn't fall into the variance category. And variances can't be self-imposed. So this is something that they created, so it wouldn't meet the standard of a variance.
It's the same general requirements.
Yes.
We will just add these to the ordinance. So
they don't have to.
We're adding these to the ordinance so it conforms.
So we're proposing.
So ours is different.
As it exists, we would approve it.
I just want to clarify that.
That's the staff recommendation.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. When it was updated in 2014, the numbers were gotten from safety standards and ideas, and then when they became more prevalent, it realized, oh, this number doesn't really line up how they're built.
So should we change our standards?
We are.
Yeah.
We're changing our standards.
At first, I didn't know that either. It sounds like we're changing ours. So.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm good with it. Anybody else?
Function-wise, I'm more curious about, so how long does the sign stay lit?
Overnight.
It will like the whole night?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Did you do the landscaping, too, around it?
It looks nice, too.
Even on a cloudy day?
Yes, that's what the purpose of the wind turbine is, so that kind of...
Duh.
And it's battery storage. It should run for about 3 days without...
Does it store excess energy?
Yeah, there's 4 batteries in there.
Wow. In the batteries is a great unit.
In the battery box.
Great unit.
Cool. Okay, everybody's fine with it?
Yeah, all right. Just change those damn Skittles. It's really offensive.
Are you here on January
8th for the brain tear? No, I won't. I stopped going to meetings that I'm not on the committee for because I should allow other people to experience municipal government.
I experienced that last night in a movie theater when I opened one up. I'm like, didn't know what I was grabbing. I'm like, what's this?
It's not a tropical.
No.
It's a freaking apple.
See, no offense to Skittles in your plant, but I used to go to Shriners. And they're next to M&M Mars. I'd much rather live in that neighborhood and smell the chocolate.
Now, see, I grew up near Ferrara Pan.
Yeah.
And it used to smell like the sweet part of the lemon head.
Yeah.
But then you would walk into the halls and you could kind of taste a little bit of the tartness. And then you discovered Boston baked beans and everything was out the window. Stop talking about candy, I'm all out.
Yeah. Okay, we're good. Send that on for the public hearing. And thanks for coming. Let's go to 7, EDC 2019-99, Ring Tree Unit 4, PUD Agreement, and Final Plat Amendment.
Okay, so this is generally to address that right now there's building occurring with our new development and agreement with Lennar. And they've realized, Lennar Cal Atlantic, and they realized as they were moving toward building the duplexes and the townhomes in Unit 4, that they came across a couple of issues with the plat. The first issue with the plat is that there were EBEs, which are basically exception to blanket easements for the townhome portion. And what happened in the townhome portion is when they went to go sell the lots, an easement does not give you the right to own So you're just giving them the right to build on that land, and in order for the transaction to be cleaner, they wanted to change those EBEs to fee simple lots. So what they did was they provided an amended final plat that shows the EBE now identified as a lot itself, and then an outlot, which is where the common space would be. So that's a pretty simple and straightforward response to what they're doing. They're not creating any new lots. They're just creating a more easier way for them to transfer the lot when it comes to sale. Then the second item in the Unit 4 that they need to address is for the duplexes. There's been a change, and as we noticed with Grand Reserve, people wanting larger, ranch-style homes, and the duplexes are pretty much going to be ranch. They may be two stories adjacent, but what they're finding is that they can't meet that side yard setback because of the garage situation. So what they ask for is a reduction. Currently, they're required to have a minimum of a 10-foot interior side yard setback. They want to go down to a 6-foot. And that minimum building separation would be 12 feet. That's consistent with what we've done, like I said, in the colonies as well as in the Heartland Meadows, which is another age-restricted ranch home community. The only concern staff has with that is we did amend recently their development agreement, which allowed them not to have, to allow them to have internal sprinklers, but they'd have to meet the 2009 code. We just updated it to the 2018. So they're going to work with the building department as well as the fire district so that we don't, with that 12-foot building separation, at least for that first level, we can have some exterior fire protection if there was a fire to occur. This will go to PZC rather in January, but there's no public hearing required, and staff is supportive of all the changes that they're requesting. Andrew Mao from Cal Atlantic is here if you have any questions.
So I know what the other ones we were talking about, reducing the side yard, because instead of building up doing two stories, they were doing like the third bedroom ranch for the. Mm-hmm. How close are the houses in hometown?
Oh, what are those?
Like are those 10 feet?
They're
like,
so they're like, so
20 feet. They're really close.
So like 2.5 foot setback. Basically?
So no, it might probably be. I don't think we go that low. I think it's like a 5 foot setback, and then you
might,
have 10. Then you would have 10 feet building separation from building to building.
But this would be 12.
This would be 12.
Our smallest one in town is Heartland Meadows.
Right, which is which
and
is 10.
55 and older, but this isn't a 55 and older, right?
No. It's just that the style of ranches have changed, and to have them two large ranch-style homes, you're just not going to be able to fit them into those lots the way that they're planning.
Now, is there a logistical method of making sure that the portions of the property or the structures that are 12 feet away from each other are like garage uses on one side, or is that something where it's just going to be?
Yeah. So I mean, you can kind of see here. So the garages typically are inboard, so that your shared wall is the garage rather than your bedrooms.
Right.
For the most part, you'll have some rooms that obviously interact, but for the most part, it's going to be your garages. And we get into and this only is in a few cases. This
correct.
Isn't every building's going to be 12 feet apart. It's just some of these lots are a little narrower than we'd ideally like. And you get some of the ranches where they're, if you get two ranches side by side, which is what we found our duplex buyers typically are, the townhomes are going to be a little more affordable for those that want a two-story. And so it's, but the duplex works really well with a ranch, and so we find that we sell a lot of those. And so we, in some of these lots, in Unit 4, we want to be able to offer the ranches side by side, just so we don't limit ourselves, because this is, if we could go back to 2002 when this was first planted, or whenever it was, we'd do it differently, but we're working with what we have, so.
So how many do you think out of all those lots?
Just 17.
17
lots.
Yeah. Throughout all the different units?
Yeah. Correct. So here's
only Unit 4.
Yeah, here's the overall map.
Okay,
and the purple are the remaining duplex lots. We're not going to touch Unit 3 because there's existing units adjacent to it. And so we're only, you know, so we, you know, we don't want to impinge on those. So by the time you take care of it, you know, just skip Unit 3. We'll make it work with the existing setbacks. But in Unit 4, just on the outside there.
And then what's behind it?
I believe there's...
So page 220 of your... packet.
It looks like it's detention, and then there's single family on the other side of the detention. Yeah.
That would be Prestwick, right?
Prestwick, yes.
Yeah, on the single family side.
This area here.
Yeah.
So that's this is Cahamanian's currently building there.
The only one question I got then. So if you were to do that, and you have 10 feet. Can they put a fence then in between that or not?
Oh, well, a couple things. One, you'd have 12 feet.
Okay.
And two, no. Fences aren't allowed.
Because now you're going to make 6 feet of threat on the
plane. Yeah, no. Fences are not allowed in the duplex because it's the maintenance is taken care of. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want a fence, you got to buy a single family house.
Okay. I just didn't know because that would cut your spot in half and you wouldn't be able to get anything back in there.
Yeah, correct. No, this is. And again, it's. It won't be every unit. Correct. So just because of monotony, we can't sell everyone the same.
So it's one line on the outs, like not the outskirts, the end of the development.
Correct.
And it abuts, you know, like pond and the other neighborhood behind it, which isn't built yet.
Kind of adjacent to the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's 17 lots, but it'll end up being 34 individual units.
Right.
In this site area, it's going to be relatively open. We're working with Lennar and their construction team. Since they are maintaining their own properties, one of the aspects of fire prevention is to limit the amount of flammable materials on the sides of the houses. As a fire marshal is fond of saying, a building that's fire suppressed on the inside with no mulch on the outside is his dream home because it will never start on fire from the outside. If you remember back some of the fires we've had in the area lately, it's almost always a cigarette butt or a hot coal from a grill in mulch that starts that fire on the outside of the house and goes up, and in that case, fire suppression doesn't do anything for you. So we've been working with them, and that seems to be the path we're going to take.
Yeah, we'll limit or restrict mulch on the sides of the buildings, that sort of thing.
So they end all the maintenance that's been they can do from their own determination. So it'll be a clear space. You're not going to have like bushes and everything approaching in there.
So looking at the area, is that a deep bank in the retention area, if you go like east of the school? So if they had to get back in there, can they could actually access it from the school, or is that a pretty big bank, going to be a deep bank? You know, if you looked at the school and you went east, is that a steep bankment down in there?
That's a I don't know the engineering know off the top of my head.
Okay. I'm just thinking, could they access that if they had
to? I guess I look at it, you know, with 12 feet and, you know, because it's all... It has a deed.
Yeah.
You can, you know, you could go in a, you know, if you had to take a piece of equipment, you could go in a different yard.
Okay. And the rear setback's 40 feet.
Right. That's a lot of space. I didn't know how steep it was down that you could drive a truck back in there.
That significant.
It's not that steep.
At that space, that's in, I remember I was back in there with the fire marshal and we had this discussion, and he said he wasn't really that worried about it because if they needed to get one of their fire engines from that main dragway, he said we could drive this right across the field. Even if there's sand and water in there, we'll get right through and go up right by there.
Oh, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I didn't know if that's what you were getting at.
No, I didn't realize you were talking about for fire.
If they had to get in there with a fire truck, could they even do it?
Like maintenance.
Okay, we're good.
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, where does this, are we sending this?
It goes to PCC.
Okay.
It does not require a public, it does require a public hearing for the PUD amendment, but for the final plat, it does not.
Okay. All right, send it on there.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go on to 8, EDC 2019-100, the mobile food truck and retail vendor units text amendment.
So if you recall, about this time last year, we approved the food truck, and we've had some interest from participants, and what we got from the feedback was that for the parcels that are private, that people want to do food trucks on, it's just too much of a hassle with the background checks and the licensing. So we looked at other communities, particularly Oswego, who has a similar kind of ordinance, and they don't do you know, background checks or require licenses for vendors on private property. So that's what we're proposing now. It'll affect our business license regulation section of the code as well as the zoning. Zoning is not as intensive of a change. All we do is we're going to just remove any reference to obtaining that certificate of registration. We're going to delete that in its entirety, and that'll go for a public hearing at an upcoming PZC meeting. On the business license regulation, Lisa, the city clerk, prepared a memo. And in general, what they're doing is that they currently have regulations that it's a $25 fee that will cover their staff time to do the background checks. And then it's an additional $10 for the other truck. So what they're going to do is they're just going to remove that section in its entirety. And we've got draft language in there for you.
Yeah, there are a couple other cleanups that were unrelated to the lack of licensing on private property, changing some of the insurance language to meet what Michael Leach had recommended, clarifying that, like, if you are a food truck in a private event, like somebody like Summer Solstice, they have food trucks, you don't have to give any license.
Correct.
So people had called and questions about that. And then there was some language in there for when we are requiring certificates of registration. We use the same felony conviction for burglary, fraud, theft, et cetera, that we did for the solicitor's license. We just changed that. So that way we've only got one standard citywide that we're using. So there were a couple other random things in there, but they were more clean up than substantive.
Right.
Any comments or questions
on this? So are we still going to require insurance, though?
We require insurance for the food truck rally license holder. So not the individual food trucks, but if you're going to invite 10 out to your property and have thousands of people there, you're running a special event, so we want some insurance there.
Oh, that was
our problem. So Crusades, if they're using their parking lot, they would be the one to put up the insurance?
Correct, yeah, or whoever, if you know somebody else is running it for them.
Well, how would they know that they need that?
The same way anybody else knows that they need permits for anything. So trying to communicate it.
Yeah, we have it on our website. We have packets available. So if anybody calls, also if we notice one happening and they don't have one,
then
we can always go out there and issue, you know, a citation as well.
We're generally glad as we want. Well, that's when we had a food truck issue. I handed them the entire packet and they were in here by the end of business and had it all taken.
Yeah, because it was on the weekend. You,
well, yeah,
you're not going to be out to enforce it,
right?
Most of the people, they food trucks, they're professional businesses. They know there's always something required.
Mm-hmm. At very least, they have to go to the county to get health license. So.
Yeah, the requirement for the stool sensor was just overkill, in my opinion. So I'm glad that we talked some sense into the codes.
Yeah, it stinks.
Stop having fun.
On that note, let's go on to number 9, EDC 2019-101.
I'm sorry, one quick question. Do you want to move forward the licensing to City Council? Because that doesn't need to go through PCC.
Consent.
Okay.
Pretty nodding.
Yep.
That I'd like to see.
Yes, I would love a consent agenda.
Okay, EDC 2019-101, Economic Development Infographic.
All right, so in early spring of 2019, we requested to create some sort of graphic, some sort of flowchart, something to help residents understand the development process. What does the public, what does the city do when it comes to economic development? What does the private industry do for economic development? Because a lot of times you'll get questions of, like, why are you putting that there? And it's not so much that we're doing something to you, but that someone had a market analysis, decided that was a good location, it was affordable for them, they chose it, they're going through the process. So we started with the first infographic that kind of just shows a flow chart of private investors up here, what we do as local government, and where sometimes they meet in terms of having public hearings, special uses, coming in front of you all. And then as we kind of were going through that, there were a lot of questions that weren't answered, so we created an additional FAQ that had a little more, has a little more depth to it, but also kind of briefly describes what we're in charge of, what private developers are in charge of. So this was just a request by you guys, and if you have any comments, additions, want to see more or less,
comments?
I have two. First comment, hell yes. Like, the number of times that people, like, put a finger in my face and say, how come we have so many auto parts stores? Okay? Obviously, someone with a lot of money did some research called due diligence and found out that for some reason Yorkville is a hub of auto parts excellence. Therefore, if they want to spend millions of dollars on a ground-up building, a freestanding auto parts store at a busy intersection, the busiest in Kendall County, might I add, that already has two other places to buy auto parts, it is their right as an American. I have nothing to do with the number of auto parts stores, although I think we need two more on the south side. Now, if those people are complaining about the number of auto parts stores, did they know that there are more taco places in the third ward of Yorkville than any other location in all of Kendall County per capita?
Yeah.
So, this type of thing is awesome. If we can make a bit.ly link that says whatever, and then just have it available, like a short key, so that whenever anybody says, how come we're getting another cell phone store? They did it. Themselves with their own. I do have two edits on site selection. There is an extra space in between there and business. And then on the green dollar sign, does the city participate in land acquisition for businesses? I read this aloud to my wife, and it is indeed strange. No. The transaction between developer and the and owner is completed without city involvement or participation. That's the version that I would send to the people who get angry on Facebook about things. But I also think this is exactly the type of thing that will properly illustrate the fact that the city has involvement up to a certain point, long-term zoning, all those other things. Everything else is if somebody has money and an idea, just like everybody else, if you have some money and an idea, you can probably do it without the city even knowing, as long as it doesn't fall into a few different categories. I think this is excellent, and thank you very much for creating it. I hope this is on the front page.
It is.
Without the typo.
Without the typo, but with the...
Can you repeat all that again for
us? I can. No, this is excellent. We need more of this type of communication between people.
I have two comments, again, from Alderman Funkhauser.
I told him he should just be here.
Yeah, he could not be here tonight.
He's here. I feel him.
You feel him? I'm channeling him. He asked if our logo could be in color to match all the beautiful colors you're
logo.
Getting.
Sure.
Oh, in the top corner.
In the top corner. Yep. It's like, it's kind of like, it does kind of blend in.
Yes.
Yep. And then his other comment was, could we either have them both be landscape or both be, what's the other?
I think
portrait.
Yeah.
Not one way, another. Especially if
we'll make it work.
Yeah. Could you please?
Because if he prints it out, he wants to make sure they're going the same direction.
Yep.
Yes.
But if they're both vertical, make it so that when you flip it,
yes, page
you
two.
Do this way. Don't expect me to flip it horizontally. I only flip papers vertically.
We want to print, and can it be printable front and back?
Yes.
So we say paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 8.5.
It's
very nice.
No smaller.
Yeah.
I like your colors.
I like
my comment too. He did like your little buildings on the second page. My comment was that it was kind of very urban.
Yeah.
More than we are.
Can you throw a cow in there?
Yeah. No, green silos, auto parts stores, and
taco
shops, mattress stores.
It's a little bit more urban than that.
Really wind turbine.
Yeah, put the wind turbine in there too somewhere.
We do not have a
Harold's Chicken Shack.
It's a room.
I will try and change it to a little more.
That was my own comment.
Don't go to bed.
About it today.
No problem.
Oh man, the box squares are horrible.
Well, now a river's going to show up in there.
Yeah, put a river.
For good reason. Those box squares are horrible.
Probably going to draw the whole city, but I'll make some changes. Houses, trees.
No,
okay.
You know, you should put down.
So are we,
wait,
do we need to
remember
this?
The 6-week debate about the size of the pebbles between the roadway and the swale area?
6 inches.
Then you can use that. Oh, cantilevered lights! I'll finally get my lights! Sorry. Just poking bears over here.
So where do we want to go with this?
You have to cancel the sign program.
To the internet.
City council approval. Yeah.
You've got to cancel the sign program to get the lights.
Make the changes and put it in circulation.
Make the changes and take to city council?
Put it in circulation.
Do whatever you want.
Well, we'll send it to city council as an informational item.
Oh, okay.
So in case they have more feedback.
And we can send it to the newspaper and they can, like, every time somebody goes, how come we have so many of these?
I think Katie left already.
All right, do we have no old business. Do we have any additional business?
It's Katie's birthday.
Okay.
It is?
It is. Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kendall County Rec.
Dollar Trolls. No, it's 6:46.
Dollar Trolls.
By 1 minute.
Nice job. It's a good one.